The Old Testament reading today is from Jeremiah 33, verses 14 to 16. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. We stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel reading today is Luke 21, 25 through 36. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations confused by the roaring of the seas and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Before we enter into this time of reflection on the scriptures this morning, I just want to follow up on the announcements made before. As we enter into this season of Advent, just in these next few weeks, there are opportunities for us to come together and to serve together, to offer and extend radical hospitality, to open up the doors of Foundry so that others might come and receive support, be given the opportunity to go more deeply into an exploration of some of the justice issues that we care so deeply about. And I just want to add my own word of encouragement that you might consider how you can be of service during these days. I know that many of us have already very full lives, but we are called to serve. So I hope that you'll take that opportunity in whatever way you can. Will you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, for you alone, O God, are our strength and our light and our salvation. Amen. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and on the earth, distress. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, and when these things begin to take place, stand and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. It never fails. I find these words so jarring, these apocalyptic words so jarring to be hearing these words at the same time that rocking around the Christmas tree becomes this sort of cultural collective soundtrack. It's this bizarre juxtaposition, isn't it? The strange text that we have just heard is so much more appropriate to the season that we enter into today than rocking around the Christmas tree or Holly Jolly Christmas, as much as we love those tunes, perhaps. This text that we heard today is appropriate for this season. The season, of course, being Advent, the season of preparation for Christmas. The word Advent comes from the Latin adventus, which simply means coming. Each year, this season calls the community of faith to prepare for the comings of Christ. The comings of Christ. During Advent, we encounter what has come to be understood as the already and not yet character of God's transforming presence in the world. The already part is that Jesus was born as a historical person who lived and walked on the earth in the past. The already part is also that Christ is present now through the power of the Holy Spirit. These things are already. They are now. The not yet part of God's coming into the world is clear. We, like Christians for more than 2,000 years, have been looking ahead to that future time when the fullness of Christ's reign will be realized, to that future when Christ's coming will be complete and all-embracing. And we know quite well that that reality of universal love and compassion and justice and peace is not yet. In the years following Jesus' death, some early Christian communities living under tremendous persecution and despair caused by events like the destruction of the Jerusalem temple, their most holy place, those communities expected the world to end at any moment. They expected Christ to come with cataclysmic flashes of lightning and all the rest. Yet as time passed, and the world, oppressive as it was, continued, that expectation began to fade. Christians had to learn how to wait, how to not give up on the whole thing, how to remain a people of hopeful expectation in the tension between the historical events of Jesus' life and all those promises that had been made and the desire that God's realm be fulfilled on earth. They had to learn to live in the already, without losing hope in the not yet. Already and not yet. It's one of those pesky Christian paradoxical mysteries. And it is at the heart of our spiritual life during this part of the liturgical year. Advent and Christmas are indeed paradoxical. We tell the story of a baby who was a king. We talk about the now and the not yet. We talk about incarnation, fully God and fully human. We talk about darkness and confusion and enlightenment. And in a sense, this forms the paradox in which we find ourselves. We are who we are now, and we're still growing into the not yet of our future selves. As you've heard me speak about, we are always being and becoming. We are so very human. And yet we are also children of God, made in God's own image. We are somewhere between the fact of the shadows of reality in the world as it is and in that hope of light. That is where we are. That is who we are. And the spiritual journey invites us to be a people of hopeful expectation in the in-between times. In the movement and in the growing from the reality of now to the hopeful vision of our not yet. But sometimes life eats away at our ability to remain a people of hopeful expectation. Sometimes it's hard to be hopeful that we can be different, that we can grow and change, that the world can be different, or that all that seems so helpless and hopeless can be redeemed. Our gospel today acknowledges the anxieties of human life and the fact that these anxieties can weigh so heavily on our hearts. So we often find ourselves in our own lives expecting the worst. Does anybody here ever expect the worst? But here's the thing, is that we're all here today on this first Sunday of Advent. And whether you thought about it this way or not, do you know what we're doing here today? We are here gathered together to expect the best, to be a counter to that tendency to always expect the worst. We have come expecting the best. We've come to experience again the ancient tale of the one who's come into the world to save it, the tale of the one who has come into the world to redeem, the one who has come into the world to bring hope and to show us that our hope is not in vain. Thousands of years have passed, and still we cry out, "Come, thou long-expected Jesus." We gather this week and over these next 3 weeks to find the courage to hope. We walk into literally the darkest days of the Earth's cycle in this part of the hemisphere. And we try to have our eyes and our hearts open to the light that we believe is coming. Our faith teaches us that what has come and what is yet to come fully is the holiness of God, God's perfect love in Christ that brings all our hope for not yets to completion. All the confusion, all the brokenness, all the fear, all the loneliness and the grief, all of the violence and the betrayal. The hope is, you see, that all these things will be mended and tended and released by the power of God's love. That love that is so powerful that it resonates like a crack of thunder and sends tremors throughout the world. It seems to shift the sun and the moon from their expected courses and makes some stars to shine more brightly than they should. To come face to face with the Christ who shows us who we are in all our paradoxical humanity. To be encountered by a love and a humility and a power so perfect in itself that it can only be divine. To feel ourselves bathed in this light of holiness, even in the midst of the anxieties of our lives. This is what we're waiting for. This is what we're looking for. This is what we and Christians throughout the centuries are longing for, are crying for. It's all pretty lofty language, isn't it? But most of our lives, of course, are lived in the ordinary moments of life. Moments of sleep and work and conversation and buying and selling and reading the paper and going to brunch and walking the dog and doing the dishes and getting the kids off to school. Our lives are marked by the routine and the mundane. Only occasionally being startled out of those patterns by extraordinary circumstance or perhaps the liturgical seasons of the church. Our expectation is for the light and love of Christ to shine in and through all creation and all beings and through our own lives. But today, this year, this Advent, we are not there yet. We still live between times. We still need to figure out how to remain a people of active, hopeful expectation, even as we go about the ordinary stuff of our lives. Jesus taught the disciples to be on guard, to be alert at all times. And I'm going to suggest that this does not mean that we are to be fearful and guarded. That's not, I think, at all what Jesus was teaching us. He certainly did not live his life that way. The invitation, I think, is quite simple. It is to pay attention. To pay attention. To look for the places where the light of Christ is shining, even in the present moment. A couple of weeks ago, I had a conversation with a member of Foundry who said he was having a hard time seeing God working for good in the world. He'd been trying to pray that prayer that I lifted up to you some weeks ago, that prayer about that comes from our United Methodist Morning Prayer and Praise Service. It says, "New every morning." Remember this prayer? "New every morning, great God of light, is your love. And all day long, you're working for good in the world." Well, a friend here from Foundry came to me and said, "I'm having a really hard time right now seeing God working for good in the world. It's hard for me to see it." And I thought to myself, what is my response? Knowing that I needed to respond to that same feeling in myself as much as to my friend, because God knows that it is hard sometimes to see God working for good in the world. God knows it's a struggle to believe that goodness is stronger than evil, to believe that all day long God is working for good in the world. That struggle is pervasive, and it's real to believe it. So I responded to myself and to that struggle in me as well as to the struggle that was brought to me by my friend. And what I said is, just keep praying the prayer. Just keep praying the prayer. Keep saying the words and keep looking for even small signs of love and beauty and mercy and compassion and hope, because those gifts are just as present as the rest. They are so much more powerful than the nasty, destructive energies and actions of the world. It is sometimes so easy for us to be overwhelmed and to believe that those headlines, the overwhelming headlines, are what's true, what's most powerful, what's most real. But that's a lie. There is so much good and so much beauty and so much compassion and so much love and so much mercy and so much sacrifice and so much self-giving in this world. And it is everywhere, all around us. Do we have the eyes to see, the ears to hear, the hearts to receive those gifts that don't always make the headlines? Those gifts that are around us are Christ in the world, Adventus. Those gifts are more powerful than any of the destructive things that we see and experience. It's the very power of life and love itself. In this season, however, when our ordinary lives can become overloaded with tasks and emotions and plans and to-do lists, anybody have any of those? Tasks, to-do lists, plans, emotions. When our ordinary lives can become so overloaded with all of that, it becomes even more difficult than usual to be alert, to be aware, to pay attention to Christ coming and present in our midst. Because as Pastor Ben prayed last week, we are moving at a breakneck speed toward the end of the year. How in the world is it my birthday already? I mean, when did that happen? It's going to be Christmas before we know it, and then all of a sudden we'll turn around and it's Easter. I mean, it just doesn't stop. Everything moves so fast, and there's so much to do and so much to deal with. We've talked about this these last weeks. And in the midst of all of that, it's hard to stop, just stop, and to look around, to pay attention, to be alert to what is most real and most true. Slow down. That's the invitation I want to extend today. It's countercultural. Slow down during this season. Stop when you can. Acknowledge that deep feeling in your center that calls you to really pay attention. Stop and glory in the signs, in the sun, in the moon, and the stars. Use those moments when the traffic is slow, or the bus hasn't come, or when the line is really long, and give yourself permission to be still. You know, we might need to cultivate a bit more silence in our lives to really pay attention well. This season is also not known for silence. Perhaps turning off the radio in the car, the television, or social media for a few hours a week. Maybe even a whole day. I promise you the sun will rise tomorrow. If you do it today, it really will. To unplug from all the noise and distractions for minutes or days heightens our ability to see and to hear and receive what is. And what is the transforming power and presence of God's love in Jesus Christ. Because even though Christ's coming in its fullness is not yet, our faith teaches us that the Holy One of God is Adventus even now. Be alert. Pay attention. Look for the ways that God is at work, even in small ways. God often works most powerfully there. The subtle and glorious and tender fullness of the realm of God is as near as the cold brush of air on your face, always ready to break open. Live in anticipation, so alert that even your ordinary hums and cracks and flashes with holiness. Bask in the light that has already come and cling to the promise that someday, probably when we are busy making other plans, someday the not yets of your life, your relationships, your church, our world will be fulfilled. Someday fulfilled fully. Finally. Pay attention.